Thank you. Not always, though. I wish I could say that. You know, some of the people, I pull a piece of gum out of my mouth and stick it on their back when I hug them. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. And I don't have it mastered. But I'm working on it. How many of you are working on it? Hey, where's my woohoo crowd this morning? I want your help today. I want to hear you. Try it one more time. One, two, three. Yeah, I like that. It's great. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Our great friend Lisa Frank Lamont is here. She's got a table up back. Help you make some of those decisions. It's personal to my family with my wife 4 years out from overcoming that with God's help and with people's help. Yeah. And you don't have to do it alone or be afraid or live in fear, but we want to help with that. That's why we want to bring that as a focus this month and just be a part of your life with that. Maybe you can be a blessing. I was sharing in the first service that while we're in the middle of it, we're getting ready for bed, I don't know, 9 o'clock. I'm telling you, you get up at 5 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night, I'm three sheets to the wind. I'm looking for the sack. And a knock came at the door. I'm like, who is here now? And went to the door. There was a lady with a box. She said, God told me to make you both dinner. And I'm like, I mean, couldn't he have told you like at 2 and you brought it over at 4:30 or 5? But the love that we felt at that moment was so good. And I'll never forget that. I even remember what it was, don't you, honey? It was chicken parm. It was so good. I could eat a plate of that right now. Yeah, I got woohoos on that one. But when you hear that somebody is hurting or somebody is going through something, be a conduit of love to that person. Even if it's late at night. Do whatever you will, not too late. But be a blessing to them. Show some kindness. Show some love. It goes a long way. I want to pause a moment this morning before I begin today and just pray for our nation. Pray for those who are in authority. Pray. I'm cognizant of our schools, our children going back to school, the teachers, everyone who is involved. So many people thought we'd be past the season that we're in right now with the pandemic, but we are not. But God's going to help us to endure through it, and he's going to keep us, and he's going to heal those that are sick and redeem those that are lost, and he's going to use these moments and do something good with them. How many of you believe that today? Amen. So, Lord, we pray for our nation today. We pray, Lord, for those who are in authority. We pray for our president, first lady, those senators, congressmen, those that are sick. We pray for those who are making decisions daily. We pray, Lord, for our nation in the upcoming election that, Lord, you will choose. You have your way. Your word says you place those in places of authority. You bring one down and you raise another one up. So, Lord, we just commit it to you. Lord, we won't argue and fight with people. We won't engage in nasty conversations. We will not be a part of that. But Lord, we will be the people of God that you have called for such a time as this, to pray, to love, and to walk our lives among a culture and let people around see Jesus lives in us. Lord, have your way in our lives. Have your way in this morning. I pray together with my family today in Jesus' name. Come on, and everybody said a great amen this morning. Amen. I'm just so glad to see all of you today. And those of you who are watching online, we honor you and we thank God for each and every one of you as we walk through this season of our lives that has been so challenging in so many ways. And in the midst of it, I just have felt that God wants to help us to learn to endure through this season. and to not just run away, not live in fear, not live under a bubble, but to believe God for some great and mighty things that he wants to do in and through us. And one of those areas in our lives to help us endure is to make sure you are connected with one of the small groups that we have operating in and through the church. There's a few that are meeting at homes. One of the men's groups is meeting in a barn. Many of them on Zoom, online, which are incredible. If you just struggle with that and you've never done it, can I encourage you to turn off your struggle button and turn on your accepting button? Because some of these Zoom groups, they have developed such a community online. I mean, I'm just amazed at it. I'm thrilled by it. One of the groups, Art's group, he said, "When are we going to?" Somebody said, "When are we going to go back meeting in person?" I said, "Be careful about doing that, because I think it's working out even to a greater level the way it is now." And now I know we're going to meet in person because that's the plan that God has for us to be together. But listen, engage in some of these groups. They are powerful. Or Celebrate Recovery group, they're doing great things. There's so many. The women's groups that are doing great. I always call it peanut butter in Jesus, but it's pajamas in Jesus. I get my mind on food all the time. I'm a sick person, but God help me. I mean, there's just so many. The Tuesday morning men's group, there's many. Kathy Cervone's women's group, I mean, there's just so many beautiful connections, and you can make connections with people and help you make it through these times in our lives. We need one another. Amen. Jesus said, I read this last week concerning the time that we're in, Matthew 24, verse 10. He said, many will fall away. The word fall away there means be offended. And the reality of it is when we become offended, we fall away. We, just as Pastor Ryan said, we put up the boundaries. We put up the walls. We put up barriers and we keep people out. We fall away. The word means a stumbling block. He said, in the time, many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Isn't that the progression that happens? When you become offended, if you engage in that offense, you begin to talk bad about the person. You know, that's the first level when people are offended. They got to talk bad about the person that they're offended at. They got to tell other people, you know, so-and-so, this is bad, that's bad. Instead of letting that go and focusing on what God may want to do. He said to fall away, betray. And then he said, hate one another. And then he goes on to say, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because of lawlessness, we are in a season in our country of lawlessness. It will be increased. And the love of many will grow cold. Listen to this, verse 13. But the one who endures to the end, who endures through all of that, who endures when you're spoken evil of, when people treat you bad, when somebody be offended at you, he who endures to the end, that person will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. The Bible says, and then the end will come. Instead of you and I becoming offended and carrying around hurt feelings, the Bible says in Proverbs 17:9 in the New Living, the Bible says, love prospers when a fault is forgiven. But dwelling on it separates or builds a barrier or builds a wall with close friends. When you focus on the wrong, I can't believe they did that to me. I can't believe she said that. I can't believe he did. When you continually focus on that, and you continually sow that seed, you're going to reap the wall, the falling away, the separation, the boundary. But when you come to Christ and know that the Bible says that we are to forgive others as Christ has forgiven us, and I'm not telling you it's easy. Listen, You can forgive today at this level. Tomorrow, you're going to go to this level. And it's not easy. But it's the right thing to do. Just because something isn't easy doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it. If it's right, you need to do it. And forgiving and releasing people and stop dwelling on that is the right thing to do. And forgiving a fault is the right thing that we'll do. Because when you do that, it shows not only the world, but it proves in your own personal life that you have engaged with the power of the Holy Spirit to endure through the negative things that happen in your life and stand up against that and not give in to that, but rise higher and become the person that God has called you to be. And we are called to endure, to persevere, not to give up, not to give in, not to stop. The word endure means the power of enduring an unpleasant or a difficult process or situation without giving way. And that, you know, this past week in the gym, if you follow my social media, I finished one day in the gym, and it was tough. And I mean, I'm on the floor, and all I could think about is the message. I hate it when I got to listen to my own preaching. And I'm listening to it, and I'm struggling, and I'm hurting, but I heard that word. You got to endure through it. This is a perfect example. My heartbeat is racing. It's at like 140. I got it on my watch. I shouldn't look at it when I'm in the middle of feeling like I'm going to die. I'm at 140, and I'm going to stop here. But then I heard the word endure. And you got to push through where you think your limitations are. Because if you stay in the realm of your limitation, you will never experience the great things that God has for you beyond that threshold. You have to learn to endure. You have to learn to push past and push through. Because in the middle of that, God is saying, I'm going to use all these things and I'm going to work something good together for you because you love me and you're called by me according to my purpose. And you'll never know if you stop. You'll never know if you give up or if you give in. And it means serving the Lord with all of your heart. Serving Him personally. It means serving in your marriage. It means serving in your family. It means not stopping when it seems like nothing looks possible, like it's going to work out. But can I tell you, faith is believing right now, even when you don't see the answer in front of you. Faith is substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not yet seen. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. They don't give up. They endure. They push through. They say, I'm not stopping until God says so. And in the midst of that, when you feel like stopping, that should be the fuel that gives you that second breath that says, not this time. I'm not giving up this time. Listen, you're looking at a guy. I've given up a lot in my life. I've stopped short of where I knew I should have gone. But when I found out that the promise lies on the other side of where I think I can go, when the best that God has for me is on the other side of that, I've learned in my life now that I'm going to push through, I'm going to endure, and I'm going to step in to something that is beyond anything that I ever thought possible. And He will do that for you. He will do that for you. And you've come too far in God to go back now. There's no backing up. Where are you going to go? Hebrews 10:36 says, He says you have need of endurance, so after you have done the will of God, you can receive the promise. The word endure, it just simply means to keep on going, to carry on. And I want to encourage some of you today. I'm here to remind you of some things that you already know, to inspire you to endure today. And some of the things that throw us off is just that daily life, that daily stuff, that everything that we just do over and over. Somebody came up to me afterwards and said, that's what I was trying to tell you when I first saw you this morning. And I just get tired of that daily, day in and day out, that grind, that just that daily stuff. I read when I was studying this, I read a phrase that I never had heard before. Somebody called it donkey work. It's the boring parts of a job or a life. I called Ryan last night. How you doing? I just finished my lawn. And he said, now I'm down at the road picking up 60, 70 cigarette butts along the front of my house. You want to talk about boring work? I guess that would fit under the category of donkey. What is it? Donkey work? I've never heard that phrase before. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 11, 27. He said, I've worked hard and long. I've endured many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty and gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. And besides all of that, I have the daily burden of the concern for all the churches. And sometimes it goes on for days and weeks and months. And we wonder, am I going to keep on doing this? And the enemy is always knowing what God is up to in your life. And can I tell you that that daily working that thing out every day, the enemy wants to try and cause you to lose focus or just give up. But it's through the daily rudiment that God will develop something in you. He'll bring a strength to you. He'll bring an endurance to you. He'll cause you to persevere and fight through that thing that would try to stop you and to hinder you. Personal adversity causes us just to give in too. David said in Psalm 61, 2, when my heart is overwhelmed, he said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to something that is bigger than me. Let him, by the power of his Holy Spirit, take you and I to paths that we've never experienced before in our life. I got a birthday this month. So I'm going to turn 65. And many people say, well, when you get 65, you just kind of, you know, that's it. I ground another AARP letter up in my mail the other day. I took that. I didn't even open it up. I felt that thing in there. I'm not giving into that. I don't mind being 65, but I'm not going to stop being and becoming who God has called me to be. I got too much in front of me. I got too much ahead of me. God is going to do great and mighty things. And sometimes God's desire for us is not to retreat when everyone else says, it's time to quit, it's time to retreat, you need to give up. What's the use? You've done this, you've done that. But he wants you and I, by faith, to stretch out our hands to him and say, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the place of hope. Lead me to the place of rest. Lead me to the place of peace. Lead me to the place of confidence that I can go and I can know that God is with me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? And then it's the attack from others that weakens our endurance. This is one that has just a devastating effect on me. People can be difficult. People, I just think sometimes people wake up some days with the intention of they're making a list of people that they're going to be mean to or be nasty to. And David said in Psalm 109:3, he said, with words of hatred, they surround me, they attack me without cause. And the truth of it is, my brothers and sisters, we can't allow someone else say things to us to impact the destiny on our own personal lives. We can't allow that to stop. We can't be afraid of what someone may say to us so we stay, you know, just neutralized our whole life, because if we step out, we're afraid that somebody's going to, you know, say something bad about us. Can I tell you something? When you step out, there are going to be people that say bad things. When we're giving the food out, and you know, I got this report. I'm not even going to repeat what I heard that somebody said, because I'm not going to give it any air at all. But I'm thinking to myself, my carnal side is, you know, here we are feeding this region, and we got people labeling us, calling us a particular name because we're doing good. The carnal side would be, forget that. I'm going to stay home in the morning and sip on my Starbucks, eat my biscotti, and let the world go in the way it wants to go. But God says, Jesus said, God blesses you in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 11 when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. When you give in the name of Jesus, when you live for the Lord, I know some of you, you're not liking what I'm going to tell you right now, but God has a blessing connected to that that nobody can take away. Yeah, people will be mean. People will be cruel. People will talk bad about you. But God has something greater for you. And I know it's hard because when God gives you a gentle heart and that comes back towards you that way, you know, your old nature, it's dying, the Bible says, daily, but it's not all dead. And sometimes you just want to take things into your own hands. But God says, don't do that. And the Bible says in Romans 12, 14, bless those who persecute you. You want me to say it again? Bless those who persecute you. And I know some of you, you're wanting me to get this down, but when it comes to your door, you're like, well, that's not for me to work with. That's just the pastor. He's got to get good at that. No, that's for all of us. Because if you're going to live for Christ, you're going to be persecuted and talked about and lied about. He said, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Romans 12, 17 says, Paul says, don't repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. And if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Don't take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it's mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, give him a box of food. If he is thirsty, give him a grande coconut latte with three shots of espresso and one pump of white chocolate. I wonder how many wrote that down. Come in next week and I'll have like 12 Starbucks. You bring them, I'll drink them. He said, when you do this, you heap burning coals upon their head. And that's not, I used to think as a young Christian, yeah, we're going to do something good and God's going to burn them up. He's going to melt them from the top of their head down to their feet. Praise the Lord. That's not what that is. In that time, they would, a gift to another home would be for somebody to build a fire and they would transport it on their head in a basket and set it down and give it to them. When you bless somebody that harms you, it goes beyond what you can imagine. He goes on in verse 21, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And are we in a culture in our world right now? And I want to just, you know, I doubt if anybody's here, but there may be a couple watching, and you just need to hear this. This is not a time and a season for you to be some social media warrior and tearing down everybody that doesn't agree with you. Stop it. Don't be overcome by evil. Don't engage in that. Overcome evil with good. Because you are called to be a blessing. One other thing that throws us off is just the guilt and the shame in our own lives. Psychologists tell us that most of the stress that people live with is the guilt and the shame that they're dealing with in their own personal lives. And David says in Psalm 38, 4, he says, my guilt is overwhelming like a burden too heavy to bear. And you and I, we can get good at forgiving others, but we're sometimes not so good at forgiving ourselves. And the same Jesus that died on the cross and shed his blood, he died, he was buried, he rose again on the third day. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He overcame the wickedness and the enemy and all of the sin in the world. The Bible says that he took your sin and my sin, and it was nailed to the cross. And he brought forgiveness. My brothers and my sisters, you have to remind yourself of that every single day and not get caught up in guilt and shame that happened in your life, whether it was a week ago, 10 years, or 30 years ago, spend some time with Jesus. And many of you, you're struggling with this because you haven't shifted the focus off of yourself. You're so consumed with who you are and what you've done and what you haven't done. When you take that focus off of that and you put it on a resurrected Savior that hung on the cross for you and shed his blood for you, you'll see that on a regular basis. He will deliver you from your guilt and your pain and your shame. And allow you to live with that freedom in your life. And he'll lift it off of you. And he'll not only lift it off of you, but he'll cause you to live for him like you've never lived for him before. Come on, how many of you want to do that? This is a season. Come on, we can live for him. So I'm going to close with these three things. You got to learn to respond to him. Today is a moment. Well, the moment I came in early this morning, I felt the moving of God's Spirit in this house. He's here. You got to respond to him. That's why it's so important for you to respond, for you to have an attitude of expectation when you come into the house of God, when you come into his presence, to respond to him. God, I know you're here. Lord, open up my heart. Have your way in my life. Isaiah 55, he says, is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. If you have no money, come take your choice of wine or milk. It's free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, and you'll eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest of foods. And some of you have been spending your time, your energy, your money on things that do you no good. They lead you nowhere. And Jesus says, why are you wasting your money on that? Come, receive the free gift of God. He comes and he gives it to you. It's a free gift of God. He doesn't threaten you. He doesn't condemn you. But he said, bring your heart. Come back to me. And we need to endure. If you've lost your passion, your intensity, your focus, your first love, he isn't rejecting you. He wants you to hear him and come to him today. Second, refresh your relationship with God. You know, my phone gets jacked up sometimes. I look at it in the face. It just goes away. And I got emails and texts and messages coming. And I just have to shut it off and leave it off for 10 minutes. And then I turn it back on and it's okay. I was thinking about that. You and I, we need to step away from the grind. We need to step away from all the stuff. I got this meeting. I got to go here. I got to go there. I got this to do. I got that to do. I got to see this person. I got to call this one back. I got to get this. We've been going every way. And you don't have no time for God. And the Bible says in Jeremiah 31:25, I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. But he can't do it if you don't have time to stop and let him do what he wants to do. I said it earlier on the farm that Ryan and his family lives in now, the old Gamble Roof Barn. Upstairs, there's a granary. I used to go, couldn't find any place. I'd go in that granary. I'd pull that sliding door shut. I'd go around there. I'd tip that one of them buckets over, and I'd sit on that. I'd call out to God. I believe some of those moments that I called out to him brought me to where I am right here today. You got to learn to refresh that relationship with God. Quit always talking about what you don't have. Begin to talk to him and let him inspire and drop into you what he has for you. Isaiah 55:3, come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find me. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you the unfailing love I promised to David. See, I have used him to display my power among the people. I made him a leader among nations. You will command nations you do not know, and people unknown to you will come running to obey, because I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, have made you glorious. And last, get rid of everything that doesn't please God. Get rid of it. I don't have to go down a list. I don't have to point out different things. You know what it is. You know the things that are hindering you, holding you back. This isn't a moment for you to feel condemned about it. It's a moment for you to release it. Say, God, I can't do it on my own. You're right. The trouble with some, they've been trying to do it on their own for way too long, and you're not getting anywhere with that. And if you give it to Him, He'll take it. He'll do something great with it. Years ago, I did a message. Got a barrel. I can't even remember what the message, I don't know. But I told people ahead of time, I'm going to have this barrel in here. Bring your junk. You can't believe the stuff that came. I took that barrel home. I got a chair out of the barn. I set it right out in the middle of the driveway. I mean, I was here. It was during a week of prayer. Man, I'll tell you, the things that went in that. Dirty magazines. CDs, DVDs, I don't even know what was on them. People put particular items. I remember somebody walking in. I was maybe myself and, I don't know, maybe a half a dozen other people in here during the week. And somebody came in. I was sitting right over where I sit. They threw wedding rings at it. I remember that moment. I remember that time. I thought, dear Lord. And I felt the Lord just say to me, that's something that was over a long time ago, but they're holding on to the emotional hurt, and they needed to let that go. Need to get rid of it. Whew, I feel God moving right now. Everything in me, I just want to tell you, everything in me wants to open up the altar. I'm not going to. You're going to have an altar right where you're at. He wants to help you. Some of you have been dealing with addiction issues. Some of you just been flat out, you just got this attitude. You don't like people. You're not afraid to say it. But God wants you to move past that because He wants you to love the people that He died for. Did you hear me? Somebody needs to hear that today. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while you can find Him. You know, I read that earlier this morning and I didn't share it, but, you know, Friday, I think it was Friday morning, an airplane, a very notable individual, really, and all over that airplane went down in Tennessee County. When I read this scripture, seek the Lord while you can find Him. Man, I'm feeling a tug on my heart so strong today. Some of you, you really need to hear this. Don't walk out of here and say, well, that was good for right now. I didn't do this in the first service. But I feel it in this service. I don't know who I'm talking to. Maybe you're going to be facing something ahead. Seek Him while you can find Him. You can find Him right now. Don't wait till tomorrow. You can find Him right now. Call Him on Him now while He is near. He's near. Come on, do you feel Him in this house? As one of my old friends said, if you don't feel Him, your wood's wet. Call on Him while He's near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that He may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for He will forgive generously. Close your eyes today. Right where you're at, there's an altar. He's not done with you. He's never lost a battle. He's never lost a battle. And your battle isn't too big for Him either. Thank you, Jesus, today. Open your heart up to those of you that are watching at home. Open your heart up to Him right now. He wants to change your life too. You've never given your life to Christ. Today is the day to do that. Just say, Jesus, come inside of me. Forgive me of my sin. be my Savior and my Lord. Maybe you've known him, but you've put him over here. He's up on a shelf. He wants to come off the shelf and live in your heart today. Spirit of the living God, as you're doing so beautifully all over this house and those that are watching, let your presence permeate their lives, their homes, their families, the ones that they love today. Lord, we commit these things to you. We need you. We trust you to give us the strength to endure. I pray favor over everyone here today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord give you his peace. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said amen. Come on, do you love Jesus today? Love you. Thank God for you. Thank God for those that are watching at home. If we can do anything for you, send us an instant message. You can email me at any time, pm@thecitychurch.com. If you want my notes, email me, pm@thecitychurch.com. God bless you. Go in his grace today.